myself.
Welcome to Infusion, Prophetic Moment Live Open Forum Radio Broadcast. Here are Americus Cheney, Apostle of Sons and Daughters of Elijah Covenant Fellowship, and Dr. Clarice Cheney, Senior Pastor of Soul Harvest Ministries.
Good evening, good evening. God bless everybody. This is Americus Cheney.
Praise God, this is Dr. Clarice Cheney.
Amen. We're excited to have you with us this evening as those that come on and be a part of us. Today we have with us Apostle
LaTanya Turner.
Amen. And we have two guest pastors that is here. Paul, two powerful men of God with us, and didn't think that it was robbery to be with us. And Amen. And they're going to be just lightning and just igniting the people of God this evening. And we pray that you get someone to have them to come on. We're going to have them to introduce themselves. Amen. None other
than Pastor Kobe Nesbitt of Truth and Love Ministries, Jacksonville, Florida.
And I am Pastor Virgil Jones of Philippian Community Church, Jacksonville, Florida.
Amen. And so, two powerful houses, men of God, thank you for being a part of this today. And as everybody know that we've been talking about the state of the church and the condition of the church, and we have had people on the air live. Amen. And we're live speaking on this. And today we're going to talk about the era of a culture, the state of the church. And we've been in it for a month. Mm-hmm. And we just want to bless God's people with this. I want to start this dialogue off with Pastor Virgil Jones. Is it the church's responsibility to address the rise of atheism and polytheism?
I believe so. I believe if you go back to the book of Acts, that it has always been the church's responsibility to not only stand on the truth, but to present the truth to those that object the truth.
Yes.
It seems to me that here in America, that this tide is beginning to turn almost as it was in the book of Acts, that the church has almost become an enemy. And so we need preachers, ministers, and the body of Christ need to be well equipped to be able to defend what we believe.
You go back
10 to 15 years ago, everybody was believing in Christ. Everybody was going to church and being made to go to church. Well, we've entered a phase, man, where we are about four or five generations of parents no longer making their kids go to church.
Yes,
are believing different things. And if we can't defend the gospel to this generation, then we'll find out that we'll begin to lose a lot of them.
Oh, wow.
Right? So that is our responsibility.
And I know that it's so. Pastor Kobe, what you say about that, man of God?
I definitely agree 110%. One thing I love about God, though, as we study the word of God, he never is in the business of putting a case as who he is. Even the book of Genesis is not a book that is trying to prove that there is a God. No, just simply says, in the beginning, God. You know, and it's us to get to what it is that he is and understand what it is he's trying to show us. But my point is, as long as we be who it is that we are and continue to love God and love people, continue to serve him, and most definitely be equipped, as Pastor Jones spoke of, be ready to give an answer to every man, the hope that the reason of the hope that lies within us, then we're able to answer those questions, whether they believe that there is a God or serving multiple gods. But as we continue, I believe, in my personal opinion, the problem is we've gotten away from being who we are.
Yes.
And knowing what we ought to know and believing what we ought to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's causing us to lose a lot of our shine, so to speak.
Amen. And that's because so many young people out here, millennials, and there's another type of generation that started not to believe in the Father, not to believe that there is a God.
Right.
And if they do believe in a specific God, there's many gods that they are a specific way to get to the Father God, because we're representing, especially the media is representing so much of stuff. I want to say this real quickly. This particular scripture is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, not to allow, and I'm reading out of the Amplified, not to allow your minds to be quickly unsettled. Well, the first verse, I'm sorry. But relative to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and our gathering together to meet him, we beg you, brethren, not to allow your minds to be quickly unsettled or disturbed or kept excited or alarmed, whether it be by some pretended revelation of the Spirit or by the word or by letter from us, to the effect that that day of the Lord has already arrived, is here. And then the Bible says, the third chapter verse, it says, Let no one deceive you or beguile you in any way, for that day will not come except the apostasy, which is the great falling away or the great rebellion of those who have professed to be Christians, has come, and the man of lawlessness, sin, is revealed, who is the son of doom or perdition. It's telling us not to be weary because that day of the Lord will not come because the great falling away has to take place first. The time and the season that we're living in, so many people believe that we're seeing this. Are we in the generation, the body, the ecclesia of the great falling away, Pastor?
I think that's a very good question. And of course, when you're reading the text, it's definitely alluding to the Antichrist, the son of perdition being revealed. Me personally, as a pastor, I think we as the body of Christ have to more so focus on doing our share.
Yes.
I think when prophecy is revealed in the Word of God for a great falling away, or in the latter days, men will turn to itching ear sermons. People will not endure sound doctrine.
Yes.
Those things are already spoken. Yes, they're already prophesied. And so there's nothing that we can do to stop it or aid it. But what we can do is continue to minister the Word of God and preach the Word of God. And if there is a falling away, then let them fall. But by all means, like Paul said, we have to continue to preach in season and out of season. I will agree to this extent that when you look at things that are happening here in America, I'm pretty sure that there are some that can identify that there is a great falling away.
Yes.
But once again, we're only in one country,
right,
in a big old world. And so if we can go back through the centuries of time, I'm pretty sure you can go and find other sectors of time where there were possibly a great falling of way in the Christian faith.
Oh, that is
so
good.
And so somebody in another continent could have felt that it was coming to pass then.
Yes.
And so me personally, I try not to focus on whether or not the falling away is here, or whether it's here or not, but rather put my focus on continuing to deliver this Word of God with power, knowledge, and understanding.
Yes,
and those whom God has called, those who he has chosen before the foundation of the world,
come on now, preacher. Come on, preacher. How about you, what you say about that, Kobe? And then we're going to ask Apostle Turner this. Because so many people are saying because of this, people not believing in God, especially the millennials or other people, they say, well, we have to be living in the day in this generation that people are falling away like flies from the church. What you say about that, man of God?
I definitely agree. I believe in every dispensation and every time and every, as you look back, as Pastor Jones alluded to, in church age, there was always an erosion, so to speak, of people walking away from the things of God. But now I guess it's just more prevalent with social media, with news. We got the world at our fingertips, and we can kind of see everything that's going on. But I believe that our job is clear, that we, no matter what condition, you know, the world is in, we as the people of God need to continue to hold up the standard. I heard an old saying that I just try to live by. Say we ought to live like he's coming back tonight, and we ought to work like he's never coming back.
Come on now.
I think with that we kind of stay safe. I mean, because I do believe that there's a great falling away when you talk of. And I've always heard it from the time I've gotten saved. I got saved in 2001. And when I got saved, all I heard was the good old days and the good old days. And even then, it seemed like it was a falling away in a sense. But I just believe that whatever time and whatever stage God has us in, it's our time, it's our moment. As the king said to Esther, we're in the kingdom for such a time as this. And,
yes,
I believe that God has strategically placed us to be able to do some work.
Wow, that's very powerful good. Because, you know, when we talk about these young men that's here, the Philippians is a staple church.
Amen.
In the city of Jacksonville, Kobe is coming up like milestones. Amen. And the fire just burning the chaff of the wicked. And these men of God are saying something. So we just don't have anyone that's here just saying, just to say something. They have a weight. And then the Honorable Apostle Latonya Turner. You see so much, Apostle, concerning the prophetic times and I know our age and the years that we've been coming up and the things that we saw. Does it seem as if that there's a great falling away now?
I would say that there is. And I would say I would also agree with Pastor Virgil that definitely times and seasons come. And surely 20 years ago, they could have thought that that was the time.
Right.
Of course.
Right.
But the problem with today is in the age that we live in, with the millennials now on the rise. Before, when the other generations were coming up, they had it in their belly.
Yes, yes.
But now, because it has not the parents of the millennials.
That's right.
Don't have a relationship with God. Right. They don't know him. So that they were not able to pass along anything that they could reject.
That's right.
So they have not had anything to reject or receive. So they're out there just willy-nilly receiving anything that agrees with their spirit.
That's true.
Mm. That's not the spirit of God.
Right. Amen.
Yes. And that is the issue today, that they're just so open to so much. And I do believe I have quite a few in my ministry, and they tell me some things that just kind of blow my mind.
Yes. Mm.
Because I would have never had to have endured that.
Mm.
And at their fingertips is every God they ever want to pull up, want knowledge of, all kinds of things, some truths and some not.
Yes, right.
And so because they are exposed to so much so quickly, and because they don't have anything down in their belly.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yes, yes.
You know, we can't even say that they're unstable. Because even even stability has to be predicated on something.
Right. Yes. That's good.
And so they're they just are out there loose, and we have to be able to minister in such a way that they'll know our God.
Yes.
And there's no tricks to it.
Yes.
No, we don't have to switch up what we've been doing.
Come on, come on.
We don't have to pull tricks, do flips, cartwheels, anything. Just preach God's gospel.
Come on, come on.
It's still the same gospel that's able to save.
Amen.
And deliver, heal, and make free.
Amen.
Today as it was on yesterday.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Just picking back on what Pastor Jones and everyone was saying, praise God, about a falling away. I was sharing with Apostle just last week. Everywhere we go should be ministry for us.
Yes.
On the job, anywhere we go.
Amen.
Very important. Because that's going to show, that's going to let them see God in us.
Yes.
Right. I was at the job. I was just at my desk, and one of the girls was cutting up, and the other one said to me, I never told them I was a pastor. I just be who I am and show love.
Yes.
They say, you got some oil in your purse? We need to put some oil on her.
Wow.
And so I said, well, I usually have it. I left it in my other purse. And then one of the other ladies at the job said, well, I have some oil. She said, no, we need the prophet to put some oil.
Right.
I never told them I was a prophet. I never told them I was a pastor.
Wow.
So our walk is who we are.
Amen.
Like you say, be who you are.
Yes. Yes.
Live the life. Amen.
Amen.
And they may seem like they're falling away, but they're watching you.
Amen.
They're watching you. And you ain't got to say nothing. Just be who you are.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus did. He was who he was. He showed love.
Amen.
Everywhere that he went. And that's how we have to be.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I agree.
Amen. Amen.
It's true.
Amen. And that is so awesome.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
Dr. Cheney, because, you know, we have to begin to show who we are. We have to demonstrate authentic.
Yes.
To be operative in the spirit. Jesus says, he said that you will know them because of the fruit that they bear.
That's right.
If we're disciples of Christ, we should be able to allow those that would see the Christ. It's an old saying that we say at the church years ago, the very Jesus that you would see would be me.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that what has happened is that we have not manifested the glory of God corporately. The man of God, you said, is not just in the United States, but it is a corporate body throughout the world.
Yes.
And then we have to begin to show or manifest the glory of God. And things has happened over the years that have caused people not to believe in the Father.
Yes.
They look at certain preachers and what they're doing right now in social media, and they're saying, well, you know, these men of God and women of God are hypocrites.
Yes.
They're false teachers, and some of it is our responsibility because we have allowed these people to take position in the church and not been demonstrated or have not been taught properly,
Very true.
We have not been able to gain that reputation back in the church like it was years ago.
When
it was a time that when you call a revival, people came, and there was a time when you came and it's not with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
We're speaking as a whole,
right?
Amen. And so, what is the church needs is a revival now. What is needed to kindle the desire for God? I want to ask Pastor Virgil. What is needed to kindle the desire for God?
Well, I think, first of all, that the desire, first of all, has to be within us before it can catch on to others. I did an illustration at the church last night, and we were as I was ministering, I was telling the people, as you look at the basketball arena, I'm a big basketball fan. My son asked me, hey, listen, why is it that the Kobe Bryants and the LeBron James and the Michael Jordans of life, why are they so successful?
Yes.
And I told him, because after they got their big contracts, they stayed hungry. You got so many people in this league that once they get the money, they'll lose their appetite. Right.
Yeah. Yes.
And so when the body of Christ people come in, they'll get saved and they're satisfied with just getting saved. Or they're praying, they're in a jam, and they're just satisfied with God bringing them out of their jam.
Right.
And they're so in love with the miracle or the blessing or the breakthrough. And so they forget to be in love with the one that caused the breakthrough.
Right. Yes.
Come on, man. We as the body of Christ have to fall back in love. And I told them simply like this. I said, the reason that LeBron James, the Kobe Bryants, and the Michael Jordans of life are able to succeed is because they love the game more than the money.
Oh, come on.
We as the body of Christ have to fall in love with Christ.
My God.
And if we stay in love with him, he'll keep the fire burning. And once the fire is on the inside of us, mostly when people see that fire, then that fire can be rekindled on the inside of them.
That's what it is. We have to fall back in love with God. We have to begin to yield to one thing about the Holy Spirit does, the Hebrew is called the set apart spirit, wanting to come to set us apart, a consecration. Create us unto God. And I think when we talk about holiness, we have to become holy before we can operate in holiness. And what you say, Pastor, and I see you. Amen. What is needed to kindle the desire for God?
I mean, I think it's just returning to the basics, as Pastor Jones has spoken of, just falling in love with the blesser, not just the blessing, and having a hunger and a desire for the word and prayer and worship. I mean, we don't even really talk about fasting and praying and things of that nature on a regular basis. I mean, just having that consecrated lifestyle that you spoke of.
There was something
when I first came in, I saw men of God like Pastor Jones and others, and I saw the way they were running for God, and they were young, and that birthed something in me, and it caused me. I don't know if you remember, but I was so apprehensive just by sitting on the front row. It's just a big old church. I was like, no, I'm not going to sit on that front row. I get some fire up there. Mm-hmm. I might get burned up or something. But he said, man, come on. And he encouraged me to come sit up front. And I mean, just a model and just the way that he loved God and was going after him birthed that in me. And it's contagious.
It's contagious. I like that.
It's contagious. So what we're saying is that those that can be spiritual role models that we see that are doing something in the kingdom. I always say this right here. You can't try to do ministry without the God of the ministry.
Amen.
We're seeing this commercialism. It's all about me and my big church, and we need to get beyond. How can you? The scripture tells us the commission. He said, "Go lay hands upon the sick, cast out the devil."
Yes.
Come on, and that's what it tells us. And go ahead, man. God, I know you're bubbling. We're gonna ask Apostle Turner
because oftentimes me and Pastor Kobe, of course, he's my best friend, and oftentimes I'll joke with him about how fast his ministry is growing, and he'll say, "Jones, I'm just preaching the gospel." That's all. I said, "What are you doing?"
The old spirit.
But it's like you say, just get back to the basics of ministering that word and preaching that word. And I think that once we are on fire and the people can see that fire, as he said earlier, I believe that fire is contagious.
Amen.
And one other point I want to make, as your wife was saying earlier about, you know, she was just basically being who she is and who she was.
Yes.
And people were able to see that light.
Yes.
I believe it's so important that nowadays that the body of Christ grasps that when you travel to the Old Testament, a lot of the people that God were using, he wasn't using them inside of the temple. A lot of the things that were on the inside, the glory was revealed on the outside.
So
Daniels, the Shadrach, the Meshach, the Abednego, they were in a foreign land. But even in a foreign land, the glory of God was
still
flowing.
See, you preach.
So we got to have that flow going. So,
amen. And that's how we do it. How can we ignite fire and passion back in the church? Dr. Turner.
I wish I could say something very deep for everyone.
Go ahead, Dr. Turner.
but it's just not deep. We just need to fall in love with Jesus
again.
Amen.
And
we need to fall in love with the gospel.
Amen.
And the plainness of the gospel.
Amen.
And once we can present it to people.
Amen.
In such a way that they know it's got to be real because they can see that it is on the inside. I believe that makes all of the difference.
Amen. Oh, wow.
Of the difference.
Amen.
When we can just present the plainness of the gospel from a vessel that loves him. Yes. So deeply that it can be seen.
Yes. And you said it has to be seen. We're living in a culture, an era, where that people do not believe in God.
That's right.
They don't trust pastors.
Yes. Amen.
Don't go after the pastor. Don't go after the church. Go after the Father.
Amen.
When you begin to develop that relationship, it become relevant of who he is and who you are.
Yes.
From the foundation of Dr. Pastor Jones, he said this right here, and it was so clear. We have to begin to understand who we are in God from the foundation of the world that he stated.
Mm.
Knowing who we are from the foundation, God called you.
Yes.
The Bible tells us that you have not chosen me
first. That's right.
But I've chosen you first. You haven't chosen me.
Yes.
But when I call
Glory,
not to think about a church first, think about the relationship.
That's right.
Not what I can give to you by hand, but what I can do for you soulishly.
Yeah.
I'll give you my spirit, and he wants to love on us. So we're living in a day now that the power of God has to be manifested again.
Yes. Yeah.
The commissioner has never failed the church.
Hallelujah.
And this is what's calling people. People are seeing people in the church messed up.
Right.
Yes. So how can you come and tell me about a love of God is so great when you're fighting one another?
Amen.
How can you tell me that God is a healer, but I still see the church sick?
Yes.
And so now, God is great, because the Lord said it. He said that until we come into the unity of faith.
Yes.
So prophetically, God spoken, the body, the ecclesia, will come back to the place. We just got a couple of more minutes. Amen. Of Pastor Jones. That fire.
Yeah.
You're doing something in Philippians right now concerning the young people.
Yes.
What are you doing, man of God?
Basically, we're taking ages 18 to about 35, and we're meeting every Wednesday for an hour. And it's an open format. We talk about different topics, and we allow them to ask questions in this format. I think in this day and time, when I was growing up, Kobe would tell you, we were in Sunday school every Sunday.
Yes.
So we knew every Bible story. We knew every Bible character.
Uh-huh.
But that is not so. And so a lot of young people don't know the basics of the Bible.
Yes. Glory,
and so when you come into a Sunday service, especially some of our Sunday service, you don't have the opportunity to ask a question. So if I minister on Daniel, I still may never get to your question.
Yeah.
And so we have to create a format or an atmosphere where people can ask the questions that have been troubling their mind, that we can give them an answer. And it's been a blessing at Philippians.
Oh, man, and that's good, because that's what we have to do. We have to begin to address. We have to begin to develop formats. Pastor Kobe, what you're doing at your ministry?
We definitely trying to do very similar. We're not doing it every week. Maybe about once a quarter we'll get together with millennials and things of that nature, and just have a platform, have an area where we could take different topics. We talked about. My mind escaping me right now, but we're doing something, and we love Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
And so we want you, those that are pastors, those that are out there, get and develop a relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And so until next time, and join us, amen, tomorrow. We're at 575 Oakley Plantation, amen, in the Jennings Points Clubhouse. And
the Lord. Amen. And we would love for you to come out. Amen.
Amen.
We're looking forward, amen, to come out and join Soul Harvest. Amen. We all love you, and you be blessed.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for Infusion with Americus and Clarice Cheney. If you would like to correspond with or contact this ministry, you can follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And visit them online at soulharvestfamilyworshipministries.org.